everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday life. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin and friends. And I've got my best friend in the whole wide world, my wife Lisa, with me again. We were together on the program yesterday, and she's going to be joining me again today. Then we're going to have a different guest tomorrow, so you'll have to tune in
to see who they are.
But yeah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I have to be careful not to call you hun on the radio because nobody else knows you by that name.
Okay, so I won't call
you
any
pet names. It's weird when
I
call
either.
You. Yeah, it's like I'm going to call you Lisa on the air, but she always hates it when I call her Lisa because that's when she's in trouble.
I'll tolerate it.
But we've been talking about evangelism, everybody, and I thought yesterday's program was great. We really were kicking around a lot of really cool ideas, and you told the tangerine story. Some of them may not have heard that, so you got to go back and listen to it, but, you know, That was a really good story. I haven't heard that one in a while, but
I miss those tangerines.
I'm telling you, we all miss tangerines. I can remember being in the woods back in the day as a kid, and orange groves were everywhere. It was like muck, you know, slimy, swampy areas, and we'd go build forts out in the woods and have rope swings and things like that. You know, kids
don't do
that
stuff
anymore.
Those were the good old days where people actually got out of their house and got away from their
computers
and
games.
They
played in the woods, but we would eat oranges all day long. Just like you said, we'd tear that tree up, and we'd do the same thing out in the woods, but ours were just regular oranges, so we'd bring our pocket knife, and we would just cut a circle in the orange and then just squeeze all the juice out of it and drink it. As our drink. But
my brothers would make cannons out of these pipe. They had this like PVC type pipe, and they'd stick the orange in there, and then something with lighter fluid, and they'd shoot cannons
fun.
At each other, have cannon orange cannon wars.
Wow.
That was
sounds
pretty crazy.
Fun. So anyway, I think yesterday as we were talking about, you know, Jesus being born and being a human being and God becoming a man, and that he did everything the same way we do through the power of the Holy Spirit, I think that's a great place to kind of jump back in and begin to talk about Jesus and evangelism again today. And then we'll wrap that up on the topic of evangelism. But I believe Jesus was a leader in every way, that he was our example. And that's what we've got to do, is we've got to look at Jesus as our example on how to do life and how to do evangelism.
Jesus met people where they were, and he led them to the glory of heaven.
I
mean,
I love that.
If we want to do effective outreach, we need to let Jesus mentor us.
Yeah, he's always willing to do that. And, you know, we want to see people's lives change, guys. That is the focus of our mission from him, and we talked about that yesterday when we shared that scripture out of Mark on go into the world, preach the gospel. You know, our goal is to see lives in the world change, but, you know, we've got to walk in what I call the dust of the footsteps of Jesus, let me say it the right way, through the scriptures and look at what he did and pattern ourselves and our lives. You know, listen and watch and learn what he did so that we can do the same things.
I mean, look at how Jesus evangelized with people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he taught the first disciples how to evangelize, and he's still instructing us as his disciples today how to do the same thing.
In John chapter 3, we see where the religious man, Nicodemus, went to find a perfect setting to learn from Jesus.
Yeah, we need to be ready to share the love and the message of Jesus when people are ready, okay? There's going to be times in your life when you stumble across people and it's their moment, you know? We all have our moments in life when the Holy Spirit opens the door for us in someone's life to be able to share Christ with them or reach into their lives. And, you know, we have to meet people where they are, and we have to be ready to talk with them, you know, about Jesus in their lives. So I love this story. We're in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus, you were saying, was there, and he was looking for a way to learn from Jesus. So let's read John chapter 3 real quick. Why don't you read up till verse 10, and then I'll read the rest.
Okay. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God, for no one who can do these signs that you do unless your God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So in everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can all these things be?"
Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done by God, in God." So, you know, what a great scripture. I think you find, first and foremost, we're talking about Jesus evangelizing. He's talking to this guy, Nicodemus, who is a wealthy, powerful, he's educated, he's influential, he's one of the Jewish leaders. And, you know, if we pay close attention, we can actually be mentored by Jesus here in this passage, and we can grow in our ability to reach out with the gospel and teach others to do the same thing. So let's take a look at this passage of scripture and look how Jesus really interacted with Nicodemus, because Nicodemus had some problems and he was dealing with a lot of things. But I really do believe he was a seeker of the Lord. He was coming, you know, to find Jesus.
Obviously, we can't overlook the fact that one of the most famous verses in this passage, John 3:16, you always see on the football fields where people have John 3:16 written all over them, where God's love the world. I never even realized that this was all part of Nicodemus when he was asking Jesus these questions. I always knew about the John 3:16, but I guess I just never paid attention that
right.
He was really talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus went to him in the cloak of the night. He was under peer pressure. Both Nicodemus was spiritually open and curious, and he was a religious leader and hungry for the truth.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Jesus was, I love this, he was perfectly comfortable starting, you know, with Nicodemus, and talking with him. He was curious. He wanted to know things. And I love that. God's like that with us. I think so many times we get into these religious mindsets, but Nicodemus was hungry for the truth. And I love that Jesus was just willing to open up his heart to him and not have to have his own agenda for a moment, but to just hear him out. So we need to be like that with people as well. Think about that.
Yes,
we can learn
definitely.
That from this that we need to be able to let people be comfortable around us and ask us questions and not impose our agenda on them immediately. I think I've seen myself in my life do that at times in my life where I've really had an agenda or I've felt like I need to lead them to the Lord right now and been really dogmatic and just after somebody when I could have just stopped and taken the time to listen to them and hear them out. And I do that now. I've gotten way better at it. But I can remember early on, we called it the spotlight ministry. You remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Like you're shining the light. Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And they don't even ask the question.
You know, you basically go up to somebody and you just take the light of the gospel of Jesus loving them and you just scream it right in their face and it's so bright. They're literally, have you ever had like a car headlights or somebody hit their high beams when they're coming at you and you're driving? And it can be like that. People that are in the dark and they're lost and they're out in the world, they're looking for something, but when you shine the light in their face so bright, it really winces them back and they just kind of hide their face.
Yeah, we just have to start where people are. We need to be ready to share the love and the message of Jesus when people are ready and when the Holy Spirit opens the door.
That's the key. See, the Holy Spirit will open the door for us, guys. Each of you out there listening, you know, we should meet people where they are and be ready to walk with them towards Jesus when the time comes.
I'm reminded of a story from back in the day. I'm talking, I was a teenager. I think you were in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And we went to a carnival over in Cocoa. And there was a game there where you could win these mirrored pictures. They were like a little square pictured like a mirror tile, and it had little cartoon characters or different pictures. And you saw one that you really liked. You were a new believer, and it has a face of Jesus, and it said, "Trust Jesus."
Yeah, I remember that mirror.
So you went up to the lady, and you were going to play the game. I think you had to throw some sort of ball at something or whatever. You know, those games just aren't
some impossible task.
They're really tricky.
That only the carnies can do.
You just have to keep spinning dollar after dollar after dollar.
Yeah.
And you did that for quite a while.
I think I spent back then $20 trying to win this mirror.
And the lady couldn't believe what you want that Jesus mirror?
No, I'm like this heavy metal looking guy. It's probably the least desired mirror of the whole carnival.
She said no one's actually ever wanted to play for that. She's like, "You're actually wanting to play for that?" And then you started sharing your testimony how Jesus changed your life, how you were into drugs and alcohol, and how God set you free and delivered you instantly from all drugs and alcohol. And she was so intrigued. And she actually, we were going to walk away from the game as a loser,
right?
You were going to take that walk of shame.
The walk of shame.
You couldn't win the prize.
Hanging my head.
She wound up giving you the mirror. Yeah. She's like, "I want to give this mirror to you." But before we left, you wound up leading her to the Lord.
Yeah, that
so
was a great
just
day.
Just a simple thing by playing a carnival game turned into this lady spending eternity with Jesus because you stepped out and were bold.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the problem with that is, you know, the religious people in the world, they all seem to have this agenda, and they seem to be fighting darkness and bringing all this truth forth. And I could have gotten up in her face at the carnival and just gone, "You need Jesus in your life. You need to listen to what I'm telling you right now." But there would be one ingredient that would be missing in me doing that in that story. And I think this is the actual ingredient that won her over, and that ingredient is love.
Yep.
You know, she saw a love for God in me, and me having a desire to win this, you know, cheap little mirror, and she actually saw that and wanted to know what was different there.
Yes, and also
because I'm like
your
this
testimony.
Heavy metal looking guy, and then I shared my testimony,
testimony
of how God
powerful.
Set me free from drugs and alcohol and all of that, and I love that because God is love, and Jesus showed her love that day. You know, because the religious people of the world are preaching condemnation, okay? And condemnation isn't the answer. And I see here in John chapter 3 that Jesus never condemned Nicodemus. He didn't come at him and go, "You're no good dirtbag Pharisee, you know, because he did condemn the Pharisees, but he didn't condemn Nicodemus when he came to him hungry, when he came to him with questions. You see, he condemned the acts of the Pharisees, but he never condemned the personal person of the Pharisee. And that's something that we have to take into mind and look at. Yes, we can condemn sin in the world. We can condemn people doing things that are against the Bible, but and we can say those acts are no good. But when we start condemning the individual person who's trapped in it or living that way, that's when we lose the love for people and we start being religious.
Right. We can hate the sin, but love the sinner.
So I think love is the key.
Amen. That's right. The Savior longed for them to have their spiritual eyes open, and he wanted Nicodemus to be born again and move from empty religion to a vital relationship with God. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show people, like, listen, it's not about rules and regulations. It's just about love, and it's about Jesus and how he poured out his love for you, and he wants a relationship with you. So you just can give your heart to him and realize that you don't clean a fish before you catch it. Think about that. You go fishing and you have to clean it afterwards. God's going to do the cleaning. Just catch the fish.
Right.
And let God do the rest.
Yeah, I just caught a fish yesterday and it
almost
got away.
Caught a fish.
They say you haven't officially caught a fish till you've touched it.
Well,
okay?
You didn't touch it.
And I didn't. So I almost caught a fish. But, you know, outreach isn't a chore. Going out fishing is fun. It's something you do, and you use bait, and you use all these tools, and you have your pole and everything when you do normal fishing. Well, Jesus said to Peter and them who were fishermen, I'm going to make you a fisher of men.
Right.
And I love that because God's given us the tools and the poles and the bait and everything for people, and it's love, and it's him. And, you know, there's just this amazing way that we can interact with people if we truly allow God to flow through us that will draw them in and pull them to the shore of a relationship with
God.
That's
so good. It's an outpouring of the undeserved love that we receive freely at the cross of Jesus.
That's really good. You know, another thing that I see in John chapter 3 is that, you know, Jesus was always willing to listen. I think sometimes that's one of my biggest problems. I'm really quick to speak, but I've had to learn, and I've gotten a lot better at it, but I still talk over people sometimes, and I catch myself being
really
super extroverted.
You don't say.
You know, so you want to, I'm sorry, go ahead. Would you like to say something
now?
I think
I'll interrupt you. That's why you have two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen more than you speak.
Well, in both of these accounts, Jesus listened to the words and the hearts of the people, you know, in all of these different stories that we read in the Bible. Nicodemus had questions, and Jesus listened, and he heard the questions. And, you know, he always helped people move towards God. So we need to be like that, guys out there. We need to listen. We need to invite people to have questions. And we've actually talked about maybe even adding a question of the day to the program. And
I think
we're really going to do that and try to hear what people are wondering about. Because there's a world out there that has all these questions about God, and God will give you the answer.
That's so true. And Jesus talked about what was on their minds. Like, he wanted to know, just like we can say, hey, what's going on with you? Find out more about the person and then love them where they're at and reach out to them with the love of Jesus. And he'll speak through you. The Holy Spirit will give you words and even words of prophecy over that person that will open doors for them to feel his power and feel his love.
Sure. Nicodemus was interested in who Jesus was. So this is where the conversation started, and people are going to be interested in who you are as a person. The conversation doesn't always start on religious things or Jesus or anything like that. You know, Christians need to learn to reach out naturally like Jesus did and take the time to talk about whatever's on the minds and the hearts of the people around them, find a common interest, and then regroup and reroute that conversation into talking about the Lord. It's powerful.
Like a conversational crossover. That's what they used to call it back in the day.
Yeah, so then you begin to talk Bible. You see, the conversation always starts general, but then it can move into deeper places as Jesus dug into the questions that Nicodemus had. He was able to explain things and even bring forth some of the most powerful concepts that we even have in the Bible were actually released in this particular scripture. He hit Nicodemus with some amazing ideas like being born again.
Amen.
And stuff like that. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute when we come back. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Kevin here. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder that we're going to be doing a pop-up praise event at Kiwanis Island Pavilion. There's a big gem show going on. We're going to be giving away food and just worshiping this Saturday, February the 4th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So come on over and hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. We want to worship the Lord in the middle of this event. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's been an amazing day today here at Turn the Light On. I've had my lovely wife Lisa here with me, one of my greatest friends, and we've been talking about the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And one of the greatest things that I think we will find in John chapter 3 is what you had talked about earlier, is the greatest scripture of all time came out of this story that we're talking about, and that is
John 3:16. There's not many people, even people that aren't believers, that don't know at least the reference of John 3:16.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. That's exciting.
So what's the key there? It's believing in Jesus. When we go out to evangelize, it's simple faith in the finished work of Jesus at the cross. That's what our storyline needs to be. That's where we need to bring people to, the place of the foot of the cross where they can call on the name of Jesus.
Where they can come as they are and be accepted as they are and not have to change anything about them. They just change their heart and their mind towards the Lord and towards the things that Jesus has for them.
Yeah, Jesus is all we need, guys. We've just simply got to bring people to a place of knowing who they are in him. Okay, so I love that, you know, Nicodemus just really approached Jesus and Jesus embraced him, and it was a powerful moment for him. And he didn't accept everything that Jesus said in that moment, but I do believe that he accepted it eventually. and he learned the concept of being born again. And you know, you may be out there today and you may be saying, I don't know what all that means, being born again. You know, how do I enter again into my mom's womb? That's what Nicodemus said. You simply have to believe that Jesus paid the price for your sins on the cross. So I'm going to say a quick prayer for you. If you need to ask the Lord into your life today, I think it would be a powerful time to do that. Just say this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to come into my life and to be the forgiveness for my sins that God is looking for. And I thank you that you have given me eternal life, and I accept it and receive it from you right here, right now, today. Amen.
All of heaven is rejoicing right now if you gave your heart to the Lord.
Yeah, so if you prayed that prayer for the first time, send us an email at testimony@ourlighthouse.net or text us at 321-749-7234. It's Kevin and Lisa. Have a great day.
Be blessed.
By Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.